I'm ready for the podcast.
Me too, man. Me too.
But first, I got your nose. I got your nose, buddy.
Give that back. Come on.
No, it's mine.
I can't breathe without it. You're going to make me die.
I know. You're going to have to breathe through your mouth like a fucking Neanderthal.
I need my nose back.
Dan? Dan? No! You know, I was kind of upset. Because even though that was a bit and we're having fun, is like you didn't want to get my nose.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because the whole thing thing we're making fun of is the short film we're going to talk about later is they get each other's noses and they're really in love. Mm. And okay, never mind. It's fine. It's fine. Hey, anyways, wait, everybody.
Hold on. You didn't give me my nose back.
Oh, here, just take it. Jeez, thank you. It's not even like a fun.
Now I got your nose. I don't even.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. My name is Jared, that's Dan. The Nose Thief. No, I'm the Nose Thief. We review independent film here.
We independently review films. We've established
all the women who independent show your films up at us. Okay?
Yes.
And today we're talking about three different films.
Three.
This is a bit...
Well,
it's a bit of a game changer.
Technically, it's six different films. No, five different films. I can't math.
Yes, but there's a huge asterisk on that, and we'll get into it. So our first set of films were sent to us by Gargamel Baggins,
which is, I love it. Because like,
really great name.
If that is not a stage name, and he was born with that.
If that's his real name, perfection. Wonderful.
Gargamel
and the
Baggins.
Films are called Nos Te Ipsum.
Which translates to know thyself. In Latin.
Google said it was let us know you. When I put it into
know thyself. And then there's a couple other things that we're going to talk about that he uses Latin quite a bit.
Yes.
In his stuff. I'm sure I didn't get all of it because
There's a lot of it.
Each one of these films is 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
They're too long, but we'll get into that. And then we also had two shorts that were submitted to us by Ro. That is Ro Moore submitted How We Met and Undercover Wrestler. And I believe How We Met is on Vimeo right now at ROE MOOR, Ro Moore, not Roy, Ro Moore on Vimeo. So go check that out. And the other one I think is incoming. It hasn't been fully released yet. Gargamel Baggins stuff. His stuff is just, if you search for him, you'll find him. He's on YouTube.
Yes.
Gargamel Baggins. Okay. So we're going to cover the Baggins trilogy. We're going to get the Ring to Mordor. We're going to figure that out. And then we're going to go into the shorts. Does it sound good?
Yes. On the way to Mordor, we're going to stomp on Smurfs.
That's right. So the reason why this is kind of a smashed up episode is the films that Baggins sent us
are not films.
Powerful, in a sense.
I don't know. I wouldn't call them films. They are installations.
In a traditional sense,
they are installations. No. Like these are things that should be up. Projected in a museum room somewhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they are experiences. They are not. They're very experimental. They have no narratives, and they are experiments in like really radical form, like color, editing wise. Like you have a lot of mirror images. You have a lot of just insane
superimposed effects.
Really
crazy. It goes from like really melodic, nice music. I'm like, oh, I like this music. To like the highest pitch sound you can think of. To back down to like a creeping noise. It takes you places.
Yeah.
And I think you hit it right on the money. Is like this could be like a room you walk into, and then this is just playing, and you can sit down and experience it, and be like,
yeah.
Oh, that was something. And then you get up and you leave.
Yeah, you don't stay the whole 2 hours and 40 minutes.
No, I don't think so.
You just sit there for like 15. You're like, oh my God, my face just melted. And then you.
Yes. So I was not able to watch through all three of these films.
I normally do like to give films the time of day and, you know, it just experience them fully.
Yes.
And given that there were three of them and, like, it's just, you have to be in the mood for this kind of thing because it's an assault. It's an assault on your senses. And that is a good thing, but at the same time, it is taxing.
Unrelenting. There's no break. It's just, it's happening at you for 2 hours, and then it's like, hey, there's two more of these. And you're like, dang, dude.
But,
so I watched the beginning, I watched a little bit of the middle, and then the end. So probably about 15 minutes each of the films.
I'd say, like, I did, like, 20 minutes each. I scrubbed through them, and I, like, because I really wanted to pay attention to the textures he was achieving and how he was achieving them. So, I would scrub through, and the little window pops up on while you're scrubbing, so you can kind of see where it is. So I just looked at, and I found something interesting, and I watched that for, like, 3 minutes. And then I got some really interesting ideas, but then some of the sounds, man, like, they are challenging to listen to.
Yes, I know. So there's not really going to be spoilers here because there's no plot that there could be a plot. Gargamel Baggins could be trying to tell us something and we're not getting it. Okay. But there's no traditional plot or narrative that I can see in this. And a film does not need that. But you also need to try to engage with the audience on a level to keep their attention, or at least help them with what the conveyance, like, what are you trying to say with this film? Let us glean a little bit from it, because I wasn't sure. I thought, to gather my thoughts a little more, I thought that the films were him trying to show who he is, like us getting to know him. That's kind of how I went into.
Is that what he said in the email?
I only got that from the title. I don't know. I guess that's it.
No, what I think that these, like, this is a post-postmodern extravaganza, because, like, the fact that it is not sitting in a museum somewhere and it's for free on YouTube and just, like, for anybody to stumble upon, I mean, that in and of itself kind of brings meaning to it, and, like, know thyself is a very, you know, not just him, but, like, we as an audience need to know ourselves. And some of the things that he, like, okay, so another thing that is projected in one of these is pecunia nervus belli, and that roughly translates to money is the nerves of war.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And I had a pecunia nervus belli a couple nights ago, and I just took some Tums.
Exactly.
It really just took care of that all. Yeah, yeah, it was not good. My wife was upset at me. Didn't smell great in the house. Taco
anyway.
Bell, what can you do? Yes, I did see that.
But think about that for a second.
Wasn't that in the second film, I think?
I don't remember. I like, all of my notes are all over the place because I jump back and forth from each one.
That was the first film. That was the first film I remember seeing. Yes.
So, but like, money is the nerves of war. Like, that's a very, very bold statement, right? And that,
you know, what my translator said, it was money is the soul of war.
Soul. Okay, that makes sense.
So I don't know. This is just, we're probably using AI to tell us to auto-translate these.
And then that's probably like feeding his point even more. Like,
yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of soul and a lot of anger and angst and just a realm of emotions behind it. Because maybe even happiness, because some of the background images are interesting. But some of the visuals that I picked up on, I was just... Some of them were easy to tell. Some of them were like, I didn't know what I was looking at. So I took a guess.
Yeah.
Like, one of them I know was broken glass.
Oh, so that was cool.
That was...
'Cause he has the broken glass and then in it, there's like a darkness and he was projecting images.
Yeah.
Behind the glass. That was neat. I saw a corgi.
There was some corgi stuff.
There was the puppet from Goosebumps. I'm pretty sure it was the Goosebumps puppet, which I thought was fun. So, like, how can we critique this? Because I don't know what Gargamel's objective and goal is. Does he Does he want people to watch this, or does he want people to experience this? And like,
what's the difference?
Well, does he want it to be more accessible, or does he not care?
Because I don't think
then
he
how
cares.
Are we critiquing this?
I don't think he cares. I think he's okay with, well, I mean, I can only
because he said he was very open to critique.
Yeah.
And are we critiquing it on a traditional narrative of like how most people do films, or are we critiquing it on like an art house installation?
You want to critique it like an art house installation, which makes it more difficult to critique because, you know, anything goes in that realm.
So subjective. I don't know.
At that point, like, what I can say is, you know, there were so many like strange blurred objects, and that's cool.
To an extent. I think having the intentional blurring is good, but yeah, there were certain things where I'm like, I'm looking at this at like 1080p and like, we need to see these images. Well, but that might be the effects that are done to it.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's the effects. Like, I'm okay with them and I think they're cool, but like, I also want to see what it is I'm looking at, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Get it into focus and then back out of focus, play with the focus a little bit more. Really cool colors. And I love video effects, like traditional video effects from the 70s. So like a lot of echo distortion, which was really cool. And if you don't know what echo distortion is, it's basically like you see the object and then there's like a bunch of, like, it looks like the object's
after
delayed.
Image.
Yeah, a lot of after image. I love echo distortion, and that was all over the place. There's a lot of symmetry and mirroring. Spirals, especially in the second or third film, are like super prominent.
Very big theme, yes.
There's like a Junji house. There's a house.
I don't remember the house. I must have missed that part. But tell me more.
I just remember seeing a huge house as like part of the background images.
Yeah. Here's how I feel. If you're looking to get more people to watch these types of films, what I think he could do, and this is just a suggestion, you know, take it or leave it, whatever. Make something that starts off as traditional, like, hey, I'm telling a story about a father who lost his son or something, or this detective who's going to go solve a crime, just whatever standard bog stuff, and then insert this stuff, like the ipsum-isms, and just have that, like, slowly menace or, like, become part of it. Like, have people speaking backwards or, you know, like, have this really a detective's looking in a broken glass, and when he looks in it, he sees these images that we watched in this film. You know, like, stuff like that. And he's like, what the hell is going on? Like, make it a part, but don't have it be 24/7 of what is going on. And I think that could be interesting.
So, okay, I can see that. You would prefer it to Evangelion us, basically, is what you're saying.
If you're looking to make it more commercially viable, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I gotcha. So my biggest critique, and
doesn't necessarily need to be that.
I just read this in my notes. Here's my biggest critique for if we are going to keep this as it is, as an art house film.
As is.
As an experiment, that's cool. So with all of these, all three of these, it applies. Sometimes the interesting textures that he achieves, like the broken glass and other things that I wasn't able to ascertain, they get buried by the effects and the colors. And texture is a big part of film, you know? Like, you just... Texture in general is very impressive. Like, if we can see a film and then be like, oh, it's like I can touch it kind of thing. Like,
yeah. Even what it was filmed on, like the graininess,
that's a very important aspect of film to me, like being able to see the textures. And the color, I feel like, got a little too prominent.
There's that warning where he says, like, this will cause seizures. And right there, you're kind of cutting some of your audience out.
I'm not saying to get rid of the colors. Okay. I'm just saying to dial back the saturation so we can see the texture better.
Yeah.
Because if you have too much saturation, that flattens out the texture that you are filming.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is the only critique I have for this. If I'm thinking about this as an art house film, but That, I don't know. That could just be the way he wanted to do it and screw whatever I have to say.
Critiquing as just what it is and not what it could be, I would say make sure your volume levels make sense. Have them more equalized. That's something we really struggle on this podcast to make sure all the audio is not hurting people when they hear it. It's hard to do, I know. But your highs, they can sound high, but if you get too high into that frequency range, you're hurting people's ears. And like, I felt that throughout, like I had to really turn this, my volume down pretty low. And, but because what happens then if people are turning it down during those scenes, it's almost like when you're watching a movie and the music is way too loud, but the dialogue's way too low. That's going to drive people crazy. And like, you want them to be able to experience the audio and what's going on without having to like fiddle around with their volume while they're listening. So there's that. The flashing colors did kind of make me feel a little sick. And if that's what you're going for, fine, but you don't, you really don't want to give people seizures. That's not good. And I know you have the seizure warning on there, but you can find ways to convey what you're trying to go for without having that. My other thing I would say is, what are you trying to convey with these films?
Yeah, I want it more Latin.
Do you feel that you are conveying the message of these films to the people that are watching it? And what can you do to make that message either more clear or at least theme and tone of what's going on more clear?
Yeah.
Without compromising your vision and your work.
Your vision.
Dan, final thoughts. What do you think?
I love how he titled this "The World Art Community Presents Nosce Te Ipsum."
Yeah.
Like the world.
Well, I think that is actually like a collective that they have going of different
all
artists,
the power to them.
Musicians, filmmakers, stuff like
Can
that.
Can I get in there? Oh my god, I want to get into a museum. Like I think there's a lot, especially because you can like, you can have like a little plaque on the outside of the theater that says Gargoyle Baggins, mixed media, and then like a little blurb about what you're trying to challenge. I think that'd be really cool. Like a little bit of a statement from the director.
Yeah, it'd be like, here's what I'm going for, and then you go and you're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's what this film needs.
And don't make them 2 hours. Or unless, okay, here's the thing. So this could be a thing, if you're super into it, where it's just kind of on in the background. But then again, I don't think that's intended. Like, if you're making something like this, you want somebody to watch it. I don't know. You're just going to think about how this will be consumed. So yeah, interesting. It was difficult to watch.
Yes.
It gave me anxiety. It made me feel nervous. Then I would start to hear some pretty cool music and I'm like, oh, this music's fucking rad. And then like there was like distortion on the music and I'm like, yo, yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of just wished it had like the really cool music throughout and then the weird visuals. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, I'd be enjoying this. But again, you know, who knows? That's not part of it. I think there's something interesting of having like a fun song playing and then it being interrupted with an unpleasant sound or something going on that like stops it. So there's something there. Okay. Anywho, let's get into part deux of the podcast with Roe Moore's films. We have How We Met and Undercover Wrestler.
Yeah. Undercover Wrestler.
So we have a couple. Dan, actually, you explain it. It's your job to tell what happens in the
movies. Yes, this is a film about a couple who have just gotten married and they're making a little vlog.
OMG.
And they're saying about how they met. They're giving the story. So it's like them talking to the camera and then we flash back to that moment in time. And everything they say on the blog or the vlog is directly juxtaposed to the exact opposite of what happened.
Yes.
Like they're trying to make their life seem better than it is.
So yeah, it's just kind of showing how people project their lives online of like, look how happy and wonderful our lives are. Ooh, check out our like wedding website and our mission statement of how we met and blah, blah, blah. And how much that's just all bullshit fluff to make themselves look good online when actuality, they're all normal people just like us who have problems and shit happens. But yeah, I
guess, but this film is like taken to the extreme.
Oh yes. It, yeah. And it's a comedy and I think it works. First question is, Dan, were you laughing? Be honest.
Not in particularly that
all
much.
Right, all right.
Okay. There was a couple moments that I laughed, but this one did not
wasn't
tickle
your cup
me.
Of tea.
Yeah, it didn't.
I thought it was pretty funny.
It didn't tickle my cup of tea is what I'm saying.
I was definitely laughing. I want to talk about the very beginning of this.
Yes.
Because it disturbed me, and I watched it again. And I almost felt like they should have played it up more. I don't know. Tell me what's going on here. So they steal each other's noses. They're nose thieves. We know that. We're going to move past that. They don't literally do it, but the film starts with the lady in the relationship. She has like a heart with her hand and she goes, wah! And then like a heart wipe opens up the scene. I thought that was really, really fun.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's controlling the transition of the scene. So they boop each other on the nose and then the computer starts to talk to them about posting on their like wedding website. It was like a robot computer voice being like, hey, you should post your wedding story on the site. But it was like in the lady's voice. I was so confused who was talking there. I was like, is the computer alive telling them to lie to
the
internet?
It was somebody else.
Who was it?
I don't know.
There's only two people in that room.
I thought it was like maybe the person holding the camera.
I don't know. It was really weird. It felt like off kilter already because I was just trying to figure out that and I couldn't enjoy the jokes. But then once we get into the gags where they're like, oh, we have so much in common. And then like, we'll cut to like them being like, do you like to do this? And he's like, no. And he's like, oh, it's like, okay. Or when, she's talking and he's like, oh, he was such a ladies man. And they're talking in a hallway. So the whole thing is like a lot of it's they're at a party where they first met and he puts his arm like on the wall, kind of like hovering over her, kind of almost like a kind of threatening.
Yeah.
But he's trying to show interest and she's like, okay. And she like goes under him. Like it doesn't even seem like they like each other.
Well,
yeah, they somehow ended up together.
That's the joke, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So that joke felt, I don't know, to me that was too extreme. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it's almost too opposite for it to make sense to me. It's like, well, if you didn't like each other that much, what was the spark? Did we ever see the spark in the film? I don't think we did.
Just physical attraction. That was it. The only thing that
was it physical attraction though? Because she thought it was somebody else at the beginning, remember?
No. I think that was a misdirect because the hot yoga instructor guy comes in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, like, no, it was a misdirect.
Yeah.
The one that she thought was attractive was the hot yoga instructor. She didn't think the other guy was attractive.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
The intent was not the other guy. The intent was definitely because it very much felt like she was like, oh, this guy's the friend. I guess.
Here's one I know you laughed at. You cannot tell me you didn't laugh at when she was dancing with the yoga instructor and he has like his head on her belly and she's like, oh, this is so and so. He's just helping me with my salsa dancing or whatever. And then later on, the guy is doing the same thing with him. He's like also his dance instructor. Oh, come on.
So I laughed at that a little bit and
it was fun.
I laughed at the end whenever we saw the yoga instructor was included on the wedding site.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Here's where I think the dance is between, and I think this is a thing for both the films, is when should the characters play it completely straight and when should it become silly?
Yeah.
And that balance is so fine. Like, I guess, would it help more if there was like, this person is the straight man, woman, where they're this is a silly situation we're taking very seriously. And then we have like a character like in the next film, like the wrestler guy, who's like the zany, ridiculous dude.
So Okay, I can see that argument. I can see that argument, but what I think is, for me, what I want to see is that click, like I'm talking about. Like, let's give it a whole narrative arc. Let's not just make it a sketch, right?
Yeah.
Let's make it like there's a moment in one of these flashbacks where something clicks between the two, and then chemistry happens, and then at the end, you can still have like the mutual attraction of the yoga instructor.
Yeah.
But you have the normal, I don't want to normalism. You know what I mean? Like, you have like
the, why aren't these films more normal? Quotes Dan from the Indie Film Review.
You have
got him roasted.
You're canceled. You have the resolution, right? Like,
yeah, no, I get what you mean.
The narrative needs to resolve, and like, if there's no narrative to resolve in the first place, then
so. Well, if I'm reading this correctly, you're saying less sketch, more complete arc.
Yeah, of closure. Story. And like closure. That, it was as simple as having a couple scenes where they actually do have chemistry.
Yep, I see that. And both of these films are only 5 minutes long.
Yes.
And I honestly think with maybe 3 or 4 minutes, bring it up to like 9, 10, we could have something like that with How We Met. For sure.
Yeah.
Now, I think the other film,
the other one is
more suited to
sketch.
The silliness. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I think that one works with
so
what they're trying to do.
Let's talk about this one. So Undercover Wrestler is ingenious. If I did not laugh at the first one, I laugh my ass off at the second.
Yeah.
It is so funny. So the premise behind Undercover Wrestler is whenever you need something done, like... something, some injustice is happening in your life.
When there's crime afoot.
When there's crime afoot, there's a guy who, instead of an undercover cop or like a hidden cop, he's a hidden professional wrestler, and he will fuck whoever's day up that needs to be fucked up. And it is hilarious because it's WWE wrestling. Like, it is balls to the wall, hammy bullshit, and it's wonderful.
The wrestling is fun. The camera work and the stuff they do to follow the like when the guy's getting lifted up, the camera's with him. There's a lot of really cool stuff.
A lot of
that.
Cool tricks because like you can tell these are like, you know, even if it is a stuntman, like this is an independent film. These are amateurs and they did some pretty cool WWE choreography and like
the camera was
very, very helpful in tricking the eye to make it seem like it was a good, you know, wrestling move.
Yes. Okay, so some critiques for both films. I especially noticed this in the first film is a little claustrophobic with the headroom from the top of the camera to the framing. I just felt like we almost cut off at times for certain characters. It made me, I don't know, and I'm weird about this kind of stuff too. I think about it a lot. But give their heads a little more space up top there. Another thing is, so I like how both of these films are shot. I think audio, all that stuff, it's very well made for both. What I'll say is close-ups, there are close-ups in this. I wanted like extreme close-ups, especially in the wrestler one. Imagine just like getting in there, you know what I mean? Just his eyes or just his mouth. Or to like half of his face, just really zoom in on some of these, get some weird ass angles. There were some low shots, but a lot of it was just shot head on. And I think you could have a lot more play with
also
what's going on to really convey stuff with that camera.
Jared, how did, I guess my question for the wrestler one, did you see the ending coming? Or did it surprise you? Because it surprised me, and I'm like, I should have seen this coming. It was gorgeous.
No, I didn't. Okay. I was just having fun with the premise.
Yeah, the premise is so good. But like, so basically, we kind of talked about it already, but
well, should we spoil it because it's not out yet?
Well, no, we're not going to spoil it.
We should. All right.
The idea is, a brother and sister have a little scrap at a diner. That's all I'm going to say. And it is hilarious. I think it's going to be very successful in the comedy circuit of any festival. and it is. It's a nice tight five. Like that's
tight five.
That's really cool. Whereas
that's a tight five.
And that could have worked. And whereas the first one, How We Met, maybe make it a tight seven. Like add the 2 minutes of extra exposition in there to really round out that because I think really what that boils down to, and maybe this is final thoughts, is, and we've talked about this on the show in terms of shorts before, there are some films, some short films that are made to be, or you can tell they're like, they're a one-off, like The Undercover Wrestler. Like, but one of the hardest things for a short film is to have that closure, to have that whole arc happen in 10 minutes, because that's why there's so many short films that are like, you know, tongue in cheek, and, you know, they don't come to closure. Whereas, like, I think this is like a perfect moment, because this film, it just feels like it's so easy to just break that mold a little bit and go into this nice denouement, you know?
Oh. Is that
French
Latin for
my poopy. I don't know.
My poopy. You know what's interesting? You say that because I feel like Undercover Wrestler could be like a fun miniseries on YouTube.
Oh, no, it could be a miniseries, but like, again, that's just extending the bit. What I'm saying is like full to completion, How We Met, like a nice comedy, but also drama where, like, you know, you get the sentimentality of it. There's an opportunity there that I see.
Yeah.
That's really all I'm trying to say.
One more thing too, How We Met, a lot of quick cutting. Because it's 5 minutes, somebody would say a sentence and then we're cutting to another completely different place, completely different scene. And I get the whole thing is like they're on the couch typing it up while we cut to what they're saying is the complete opposite. But some of that was a little whiplashy to me. It would go really, really fast. Overall, I thought How We Met was funny, and I liked Undercover Wrestler. I thought it was fun.
I thought they were both very strong.
Really cool idea with Undercover Wrestler.
But Undercover Wrestler is my ace in the hole for later.
That's right. Hire John Gemberling to play the Undercover Wrestler.
Yes. That'd be hilarious.
Oh my God. I just want to hire him to just like be my friend, you know, just like hang out with me.
If only that play were some, the case. That,
play some mini putt putt.
If only we could do that. If only we could.
He's probably hurting for money, and we could probably get him.
With our meager salaries.
That's right. Like, hey, John, you like deviled eggs?
All I got some deviled eggs here.
All you can eat. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Dan, please plug.
You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. That is where we got all of these lovely films.
That's right. Oh, it's me. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Dan, you have the final word.
I'm going to film Undercover Wrestler in my backyard if he's played by John Gemberling, and I'm going to give him those deviled eggs, and he's going to rub them. He's going to rub them on his nips.
Oh, that's a different film. That is a different type of documentary, my friend. Okay, bye-bye.
It's my documentary.